Blog Talk Radio.
We are poor little lambs who have lost our way. Ba ba ba.
This is TwoBlackSheepRadio.com with Bob Granger and Dave Wilkerson.
We're being a black sheep. It's a good thing.
You never know what they're going to say.
Well, good evening, everybody. Here it is, October the 29th. We're going to have another great show tonight. I'm sure looking forward to my fellow co-host trying to get the best of me, trying to grill me. So let's go ahead and start this off with my good friend, deranged Bob Grange. How are you, Mr. Granger?
I'm doing terrific. Dave, how are you feeling, by the way? I know that you're down in sunny North Carolina with your family.
Well, yeah, it was sunny a little bit today. It was rainy the other days. It's been, you know what, I think my health is really good in the Adirondacks. It's not so good when I travel, at least not for a while, but we'll get past that. I'm going to keep a positive attitude. You know, I grab a couple hours sleep during the day, and I feel really bad about that. But at the same point, you know, we're moving ahead. You know, now it is. So as long as I can keep a positive attitude, we're going to have fun with the show. We're going to have fun with all the morning shows. And we sure are going to have fun tormenting our engineer, don't you think there, Mr. Bob?
Oh, I think that's our job, isn't it? You know? But before we get to Ezekiel... You know, before we get to Ezekiel, I have to. Yeah, I'm telling you, I love this guy and our new guy in engineering. You know, we can call him Zeke too. You know, but anyway.
Well, you can, but he didn't like it when I called him that earlier. But I said, listen, Granger's old. He forgets. He doesn't really say it exactly he wants to. And he said to me, he goes, it's okay. And I told him he could even say something a little bit later, but I don't know when it's going to be because he's controlling everything tonight.
Well, I know he told me to keep my recovery story short, and so I'm going to. But it is kind of, it's kind of comical. It's kind of comical, you know, like, and it happened on Saturday. Saturday, I get a call from one of my employees, and they needed a sub in a golf tournament. And it was cold Saturday, and I didn't want to, but it was an employee, and that, so I says, okay. So I went up, we played, you know, and couldn't really enjoy partying or anything because it was cold, you know, but we did win the tournament. I got home early. I was home early, 2 o'clock, worked around the house, went inside, kind of watched a little golf, kind of read, just took it easy. It was a nice Saturday, right? And about 8 o'clock at night,
sure.
I thought, you know, I'm going to go over to the office. You know, and so you know how the kitchen steps down, right, over to the office? Well, I didn't have any lights on in the office, and I didn't have any outside lights on. It was pitch black and pouring
you do
rain.
You have a lighting company, too. I just want to point that out, right?
Yeah, yes. Well, you have to turn them on. But
okay.
So anyway, it was pitch black, but I was feeling good. See, the reason I was feeling good is my knees weren't hurting. I just got to 15 holes. And usually they ache like toothaches. They felt good, and I'm thinking, man, this is terrific. So I go out on that deck, Dave, and I'm not holding the railing because I'm feeling good. And you know, when you're not paying attention sometimes, have you ever stepped off a step and miss the step, you go into the air.
You know, because you're anticipating it. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Well, guess what?
I did that,
and immediately I'm thinking, oh no, I'm in trouble. See, I've fallen so much with my knees bad, I'm getting pretty good at it. And I don't brace myself because that's how you break things. I go into a tuck and roll like you when you're in third grade, they talk in tumbling. So I immediately went in. I went into this tuck and roll. The thing was, I was probably four feet in the air, maybe 5 feet in the air. So I hit the bottom of my shoulders, right? I hit so hard, both my shoes fell off. My shoes go flying in the air.
Holy cow.
It's pouring rain. It's pitch black. I land, I bounce off the deck. You know the flower bed over there? I land on my back in the muddy flower bed, right? With the rain pouring. And I'm thinking, help. You know, I've killed myself. So I had to roll over in the mud. Yeah, I had to roll over in the mud, grope around for my shoes, right? Finally, I find the shoes, and I kind of crawl into the office. stand up and I'm covered with mud. But guess what? Other than a few bruises, I was fine. Now, it took me about until today to be able to kind of walk because everything was really banged up. You know how that happens. But anyway, that's my recovery story. So what do you think?
I don't know. You always have something. I'm waiting for the story when it's by your, you're doing the show from your hospital bed because, you know, you fell off the side of the planet, you know, and you fell into your boat, which fell into the golf course, which fell into your, I mean, you're always falling. You know, you're not that old, Bob, for sounding like someone who falls. You're going to break a hip soon? Is that it? You're going to break your hip, right?
Listen, why don't we get back on track? Because we want to talk about your morning show coming up direct with Dave.
Sure, you know, sure.
So
we can do that.
So we need to have Ezekiel fire up engineering and start your clip.
You got to say it nicely to him because, again, I told him that, you know, you sometimes were a little rough. But, always trust me to make sure he's taken care of. So, you know, you tell him nicely, and I'll make sure that he does. It's a clip. I don't know. I think I did about 15 minutes. Just give you a sample of the show. So it's going to be a fun one.
Okay, I'll ask him. Hey, Ezekiel, would you please do us a favor, all of us listening, and start off with direct with Dave.
I got it.
Here we go.
Okay, so here it is. It's Thursday morning. You know, I haven't taken a chance to look at the news yet. I'm going to hopefully do that in a little bit. Maybe I'll do that during the show. But sometimes I steer away from that because of the negatives, the huge negatives. And plus, you know, I like everybody else. I can get wrapped up into that where next thing you know, you're talking about politics with people. You're defending religion. You're talking about all the differences that are going on within the entire world. Forget just your local area. And even, you know, within our network marketing business. And I find that you could spiral yourself to a point that you're paralyzed. You can't do anything. And that doesn't really work either. You know, but one thing I want you to think about, you know, why are you doing your business? You know, when you decided to do it, are you letting someone else determine what that is? Are you letting them decide for you what it is that you want or your why or your reason? You know, I do a couple things when I'm chatting with people. I really love honesty and sincerity. In a way, I always tell everybody, I know I've always told my buddy Rob, I said, you know, sometimes I'm a little self-destructive because I have a code that I go by. I don't know if it's Dave's code or what it is, but the code sometimes gets in my way. Sometimes in my way of doing necessarily the right thing because, you know, I'm worried about people being wronged. And sometimes instead, that's not what it is. It's just that I'm really sensitive to it. So I be a little overprotective. You know, that may be a weakness in a way. You know, I know I go back to 1999, and I was traveling all over the place with Fran Tarkin, and we had a great time, you know. And everybody, you know, they hear that part. They hear we've had a great time. You enjoyed yourself. You're in limos, jets, you know, making big business, meeting the chief marketing officer of Coca-Cola. I mean, there's some major stuff. But the problem with that is, you know, it also has a downside. And the downside was I was gone all the time. I was traveling back and forth from Rochester down to Atlanta. And, you know, I had to make a decision. And, you know, I look back, was it the right one? I don't really know. I mean, you know, you try to figure things out and move forward. But I decided to, you know, to break up the partnership with Fran and leave him. And, you know, people ask me, do I keep in touch with him? And I said, you know, the truth is, I have a few times, but you know, we didn't leave on the best of terms. You know, we didn't leave on the best of terms because I don't think he wanted me to leave, for one thing. And you know, in my case, I just need to be back up to Rochester. I also, you know, I will be very honest. I had someone dangling out about $5 million or 5 million reasons why it would make sense for me to jump on board with this other company. And, you know, in hindsight, you know, maybe I did chase the money a little bit. You know, I ran that company for a year. I didn't really like it. Didn't like getting up in the morning. I didn't like the fact that running a publicly traded company, everything I was doing was always based on finding new investors or enhancing stock value or worrying about shareholder value. And I find that the minute that happens, you stop being creative. You stop building your business. You stop doing the stuff that really it is that got me excited. You know, so after a year, we had a parting of ways, and it was a clean break. It was okay. I was able to sell off a bunch of my stock, which was important. I wanted to be able to do that. And then I sort of dabbled. I got off into the golf industry. And again, weird ways how things happen. That's why I wanted to share with you some of these stories, because, you know, the path you're on, it may not be a whole lot different. It may just be in a different level. But one thing that I discovered from that is that I enjoyed the challenge. I also found that I have some empathy for people. And I guess that ended up becoming part of my core values of who I was. You know, people say, well, okay, Dave, well, great. Well, how does that really relate to network marketing? And I'd say, well, I think it's the same thing as traditional business. I was looking to help somebody. I was more worried about their success. I was more worried about, you know, their tee sheet working properly for them, the golfers coming in, having a good experience, than I was about myself at that point. Now eventually, you know, you've got to stop that. Eventually, you have to turn your business into a business. And same thing happens with your network marketing business. A lot of people do a lot of busy work. They would go in there and help a lot of people. They'd help a lot of people that weren't even in their business. And they're doing it because they were taught, oh, you got to do that because it's good. And you know what? I agree with that. I think it's good to do that. But I think you have to be very careful after a while. And the way to sort of get around that is make sure that you're always making money and that your scale is increasing. So the best thing to do is again, look at your business. If your business every month is getting bigger, well, then maybe you're okay doing what you're doing. But if it's stagnant, if it's staying, you know, flatlined, and yet you're still busy, you're running all over the place, you're doing 20, 30 hours a week, well, something's really wrong, and you have to stop what you're doing. You've got to just sit back, and you got to think about it, and you go, okay, I need to analyze my business. I need to also not let too many people influence me. So let's talk about the time stealer. What does that mean? You know, because there's certain things you can do as you start off each day to make sure that you stay on track. You know, again, I'm a big proponent of the journal. I'm a big fan of writing things out. Listen, for a while there, I was just like everybody else. You know, I had everything. I had some of the first, what were they were called? They were called, see, I can't even remember now, but I mean, I had them all, the electronic gizmos and gadgets. But you know what? I worked when I built my first company. I used something called a day timer, right? As simple as what that is. I remember it was in Allentown, Pennsylvania, because I even stopped one time. Because, again, I was so focused on using this day timer that I wanted to go to the corporate office to take a look at what I was relying on. But the day timer system itself, all it was a calendar. To-do list. It was all in one book. And I always got the fancy leather one, and I had it, you know, with my name on it and everything. I used to have an ostrich leather briefcase, you know, sort of wish those days were back because I enjoyed that immensely. But I used to use that, and every night I would open up my day timer. I'd had everything in one place, right? I'd open up my day timer, and I would map out the following day. And after I did that, then I'd look at the week. And then I would go there after I looked at the week, I would look at my core principles, my core segments, my market segments, and I would make sure that in each of those for that week, I make sure that I had at least at that time I had, you know, one in the health side, one in spiritual, one in family, one in business, and then I break it down further in each category. But I always make sure I had those because that way I knew that I was progressing all the time. That was always one of my biggest problems, and most of my life it's been a problem where I get focused and fixated on one thing. I'm sort of like that mad scientist where I sit there and suddenly I'm deciding I'm going to build business. So what that means is for 6 months, that's all I'm doing. I am just around the clock, focused on it, looking at territories, looking at product lines, looking at different ways to market, finding new customers, building relationships, enhancing that. And I found out later that in network marketing, that's sort of called the 90-day, you know, launch, the 90-day push. And it's a concerted effort in a short period of time. And, you know, what I found happened, again, you know, we do a lot of comparing between traditional business and network marketing. The reason we can do that and the reason I feel qualified to do that is we've had a lot of success in both. There's a lot of people in network marketing that have a lot of success in network marketing. But if you ask them, if you could have spent some time with them talking about a business plan, territorial management, things like that, you know, they're going to give you the very standard, you know, well, you find someone who wants it, you know, more than you want it, and then you fake it till you make it, and, you know, next. That one drives me absolutely crazy, and I'll come right out and say, if I said next all the time in my network marketing business, I wouldn't have gotten to where I got. And you know, in a traditional business, I want you to think about this. Imagine going to a big shop, like at the time we had like IBM. We a circuit board business was my love up until about 95. And we'd go in and we'd capture their business. And I had 70-some different product lines we represented, and I would find different product lines each time to be able to market to them. So I'd go in there with a sort of a little bit different, you know, I'd had that relationship, but I'd go in there with a different focus each and every time. But if I had gone in there with the idea that if someone gave me a little bit of hesitation, that I would say next, what am I going to do? Go next? What, from IBM? Where am I going to go next? I'm going to go to what? You know, Sherburn Printed Circuits? I mean, come on. You know, you can't always do that. I think what you have to do instead is you have to make sure that you have presented properly. And again, that's something we used to do. I used to analyze my customers inside and out. I had 4 buying influences, and that meant anyone who could influence the sale. And I would focus on each one of them, technical, you know, sales, purchasing. I'd look at all of those, and I would find the key players for each of those. And then together as a team, we'd go in there and present properly. And I think there's no different. Why can't you do that with your network marketing business? You know, think about that. Why can't you go in there with the idea that I'm going to pick 10 people that I want to have in my business, my network marketing business. I want them as my business partner. If I'm going to choose a business partner, are you going to choose a good one, or are you just going to choose anybody who says yes and pays money to join? You know, to me, that's the most costly thing you could do. So I would take a core group of people. I never made a list of hundreds of people. I always had a list of 10 to 20 people. And from those 10 or 20 people, I started to analyze them. I started to determine where they stood in that process. I mean, again, in sales, it was that funnel, right? I wanted to take those 20 and throw it to the top of the funnel. And at the end, I'm hoping 2 or 3 of them would join me as a business partner. But to get there, it was a process. And the process, to me, is not as simple as I show them something, they go, oh, I'm not really sure, and you go next, and go on to the next one. I think that that's what gives us a unprofessional attitude out there. So I hope them that you'll take it and think about it this way. When you choose, and I say it's your choice, when you choose someone who you want to have as your business partner, well, then it's your responsibility to find out as much as you can about them. Why don't you want to take some time and analyze that? Do a little dossier on them, you know, come up with who they are. You know, you come up with a form where you've got their name, you know, where they live, what market area they are, maybe people they know. Maybe you sit there and you turn around, you go, we've got, you know, 14 states that we work in. This person knows people in 10 states. So wouldn't that be a more valuable contact for you than someone who has never left 30 miles from their hometown? I mean, just think about that for a second. So if you're analyzing that person, you take them, you put them down, and you find out everything you can about them. You want to know who their family is. You want to know a little bit of their history. Think about what they've done before in jobs. Maybe they've done some network marketing before. So don't you want to find that out? Spend some time interviewing them, asking them. Find out what their hot buttons are. Find out if it makes sense. And then once you've gone through that whole process, maybe it's then you go in there with confidence and you say, listen, I'm going to show you this business. I've already analyzed you completely, and I don't think I'm off base. I'm pretty good at this. I know that you should do this with me, but it's going to be up to you. But I know well enough that from what I've seen of you that this fits you. So let me share it with you now. So if you think about it, you know, if you feel that way, if you've done your research, if you have your little dossier on your prospect, isn't it going to be a little difficult for them to say no? Because you've already determined they're a real good fit. And you've already come up with all the reasons why they're a good fit. So when it comes up, you with confidence can share with them why they should be doing business with you. You know, it's a lot simpler than what people think, and I believe strongly that instead of you sit there and do the old spaghetti, the shotgun approach, where you're going to just hit as many people as you can, and you're going to find that one person that just gets it, and it's going to make you $1 million. You know, not that it hasn't happened, but I guarantee you, one of the reasons why we have so much failure rate in network marketing is because people throw anybody into their business, even people they really don't want to work with. Why would you do that? You know, I mean, seriously, I mean, you ask yourself, how many people right now do you have in your personal network marketing business that you brought in, sponsored yourself, that you regret? You know, either they bailed out on you in the first 13 seconds, or the minute that they had a no hit at them, or the minute that something problem happened with the company, or whatever it may be, they bailed on you. You know, Damien talked to us the other night about one of the things he looked at for a business partner, and his was pretty interesting. He talked about self-improvement. He said if the person that he brought in as a business partner, if they aren't trying to improve themselves, he said, you know, they're going to be gone anyhow, because they're not going to be trying to make themselves better. And I tell you right now, the majority of the people don't have the skills really set in place for them to be able to achieve success. So maybe he's onto something. Maybe you have to say, you know, maybe part of your dossier as you're doing research, maybe you want to say, listen, do you listen to or read any self-improvement books? Have you ever listened to, like, Napoleon Hill's, you know, How to Think and Grow Rich, Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People? Maybe those are the questions you really need to be asking, and you're going to save yourself a lot of heartache later on. Because don't you want your business to be fun? You know, people who deal with me all the time know that that's a big criteria, and they always say, well, why is that? And I say, well, why not? Why wouldn't it be? You know, I don't need any more stress. Again, it goes back to the core reason I got heavily into network marketing was because of that fact, was because I enjoyed hanging around with the people. You know, I really, really did. It becomes a very social thing for a lot of people. And again, in fact, we're going to talk about that probably the next show. I won't do it now because I go off on big tangents on that one, about the right people and about, you know, what's good for them. And it's not all the money. Sometimes it's more than that. Maybe it's just about feeling good about themselves. But, you know, I hope you picked up on a little bit and piece of some of the stories along the way we're going to do with my morning radio show. Still not sure what I'm going to call it, you know. But, I mean, I want to just take an idea or topic, whatever hits my head, and I'm going to chat and talk about. You know, I've got a lot of great life experiences. I've got some bad ones, and I'll share them on the radio. You know, I will do that. I'll sort of expose my weakness with those. At the same point, I've also got some things that carry me through all the bad times. I've got a lot of friends all over the country that I miss dearly. And that's one of the things I always tell everybody. I wish I could develop a teleporter, you know, where I could step into it and pop out to Minnesota, hang with my good friend Kevin Finn, or pop out to California and hang with Ryan, or Arizona and see Daryl, and pop into Rochester and see my whole host of great friends out there. I wish I could do it that easily. Down to Florida, see Dean Kyle, a guy I grew up with. You know, those are all things that I wish. And in a way, with technology, you can do a lot of that. I also believe this. Do it with the right intention. Do it with the right heart. And I believe that you'll end up building a team of people that will work with you forever. And, you know, there is something that's just a lot of fun about having quality people that you like to make money with. What's wrong with that, right? So this is just a sampling of what I'm going to be talking about. It could change dramatically because this is all off the top of my head, and my brain is like inside John Malkovich. You never know what I'm going to say next, and I like it that way. So listen, everybody, it's a great one. Dave tells you this. For one thing, you never reward bad behavior because it just elicits more bad behavior. And the other thing, too, is that if you're not having fun, you're just doing it wrong. We'll see y'all later. Bye-bye.
Well, Mr. Granger.
I enjoyed that clip. It's definitely direct with Dave, you know, just like the show coming up. And so now there's a few of us black sheep that would like to get a little, maybe just a little pound of flesh, just a little bit, with a few questions.
And why is that? Because remember, if the name of my show is Direct, I will be direct back as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, usually my first question is a little bit, you know, like not really very orthodox. And so I like to keep with that. And so, but it's going to be a pretty easy question. First of all, on a scale of 1 to 10, how many people that you talk to in any given day don't really care for your direct nature? On a scale of 1 to 10.
Well, I usually don't talk to them. You know, I mean, you know, it comes up pretty quickly. And I always say, listen, if you want someone that's going to, like puff you up and make you feel great all the time, I'll do that to a certain extent, but I'll stop doing it when I think it's not helping you. You know, like when you, Bob, how many times they just hang up on you, right? I just say, you know what, Bob, I'm through talking to you. And that's it.
That happens. All right, so let me get to another question then. A little bit more detail. You know, you know, there's so many great leaders in the business world and in the network marketing world. In fact, I learned something interesting today. I didn't know if Jim Rohn had a black belt in karate. I thought that was interesting.
Yep.
You know, there's so many great motivators and leaders out there, and Eric Worre is one of our favorites. And he says there's three primary elements in to the network marketing business. You know, one obviously is knowing the company's products, and the other is the comp plan. You have to know the comp plan. But he says the third element and the most important element is you. You know, that's the only variable. So can you expound on that just for a minute before we open it up to the other black sheep?
Well, I'm not really sure exactly, you know, if it's that easy to expound upon, because I think that's a personal thing. I know what he's talking about, and that's why we stress things about things like personal development, because too many people still don't know, they don't even know what they're made out of yet, you know, and you're going to find people as they're building out, whether it be a traditional business or a network marketing business, they discover who they are along the journey, you know, but the problem you run into with some people is that they question themselves to the point that they're not willing to go outside of the channel. We always kid about the sheep, right? And that's why we say black sheep are different, because so many people just follow what everybody tells them without questioning or asking another question when they know they want to. And so I always say, more than anything, that's probably why I like being direct, Bob, because I find that it just sorts through everything very quickly. And most people can handle that because they know it's not meant in a negative way when someone asks them a quick question.
That's great, Dave. You know, I that's awesome. Okay, I'm going to ask Ezekiel very nicely, of course. Ezekiel,
he doesn't like you. Okay.
I know. But I know that Tom and Annie and Charlie's on there, and so I'd like to have Zeke open up Tom and Annie and have them, like just to take a bite out of you if they feel like it, or they might be nice. They might soften it up. I know Charlie is looking forward to it. So, Ezekiel, can you open up Tom and Annie here and have them wrap with Dave a little bit? You can mute me right out.
I'm here.
Well, hello
there,
can you hear me? Tom. How are you?
Hey, Brother Dave. How are you?
I'm good. You know how it is. You know, some days are good, some days bad, you know?
I gotcha. I hear you. I mean, that was a great, great, great clip. Extremely excited to hear your show. And let me just help you out. I think the first gizmo you had was probably called the Palm Pilot.
You know, that's exactly what it was, too.
Because I had the same thing. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And then when they came out with the one that you can connect wirelessly, then I upgraded to that one. We've kind of walked down the same path. He with the most toy wins, right? Or dies with the most toy wins. But
yeah,
anyway.
And then it ended up blowing me down because it was just too much junk. You know,
absolutely. He had all the other paraphernalia you needed with it. But anyway, great job. Two questions. One, I think my wife is going to ask you. So let me ask you this one, because I remember when we joined the company that we're in, one of the biggest things that you always talked about was that first promotion, you know, getting people to that first promotion.
It's a big deal.
And we just had somebody that, you know, after I guess a couple of years, finally got to that first promotion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we posted it on our Facebook page, and, you know, so you put that up. And we are so excited for this young lady. And she's so happy and how dedicated and committed she's been. And, you know, just elaborate on you know, do you really have – sometimes does it matter if you get out of the gate and knock it out of the park and if it takes longer? Just elaborate on that first promotion, whether it be soon or later.
Yep. Well, I tell you what, you know, that's something, Tom, that's dear to my heart, because – I watch people want to quit the business because, for whatever reason, they don't progress as fast as somebody else. You know, and I always tell everybody, I said, you know, this is the tortoise and the hare type of race. You know, you can take a long time and still do real well, because typically what you find is those people that come out of the gate screaming, they usually disappear because they either go off to something else or whatnot. So for me, that first promotion, I don't care if it takes – if they get it done in a month or they get it done in 3 years, that first promotion is a big one. It's a big deal. And I think that everybody who's on the team should be celebrating that promotion for that person. And I don't care how long it takes. I just think it should be a celebration and where you sit there and you honor the effort they put into it. And, you know, truthfully, Tom, those people that plug along and they have all sorts of failures along the way and it takes them a year or two, I think it's incredible that they stayed with it and they still got there. So to me, it's almost more of a celebration than somebody blasted through it in a month.
And I know we talk about, I think this whole group of co-hosts, we're all entrepreneurs. We're all business owners and,
mm-hmm.
And my wife has been in corporate America. Unless I'm missing something, most people don't like join corporate America and go from, you know, the mailroom to CEO in 30 days, right? Or 60 days or 90 days. I guess you're trying to elaborate on the fact that sometimes leaders get so crazy with people that join, and I don't know what they really think they're doing. I mean, I don't think they go from zero to 100 overnight. So it takes time.
No.
And in the real world, it could take 20 years to become a CEO, right?
Take a lifetime.
30
yeah,
years.
Take a lifetime. Yep.
A lifetime.
And you know,
great.
Sometimes too many leaders, especially in network marketing, they use the stories of people, which
right.
end up killing the person in the process. You
right.
know,
exactly.
I have no problem with it taking a little while. What I look for more than anything, Tom, is just a consistent attitude, a belief
right.
to help other people, and an ability to learn. And some people learn at a different rate, you know. So
right.
it's bits and pieces. I'm all for whatever it takes to get someone to that first level is critical. It's important for everybody.
Great. Thanks, Dave. Great job tonight. Looking forward to it. And I think your show should be direct with Dave. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, well, I got some good stuff in my mind. I just hope I can keep on the air long enough to say it all.
Let me turn my wife, the CEO of the household. Right now she's doing CEO work. Hold on a second.
Beautiful.
I'm grossly underpaid for my position in the household. Let me just say that loudly and on air.
Well, if you want,
hi,
I,
Dave,
I
how
can
are
negotiate
you?
For you. I'm doing good, Annie. I can negotiate for you. I do know some of Tom's weaknesses. I'm sure you do as well. But I'm sure together we could get things straightened out for you. So let me know later.
You know, I count my blessings in other ways, so it's okay. We're all good.
Exactly.
And speaking of that, you know, Dave, my big question for you, you know who I am, and I think I'm more of a spiritual person. I believe in having a strong inner foundation, and that doesn't come easily. That comes with time, and it comes with growth, and it comes with self-development, and so on and so forth. And certainly no one, you know, I'm not perfect. I grow every day, and that's important to me. And my question for you is, how do you – you're such a dynamic individual. I mean, you really are. You're one of the most sincere. You're one of the most honest. You're one of the most trustworthy people that I know. And I – How do you begin your day each and every day? I mean, is there some type of ritual? Is there, you know, do you pause in the morning for 15? I know some people meditate for 15 minutes. Some people wake up and their feet hit the floor and they say, thank you, God, for another day. I just read Tony Robbins bought one of those
mm-hmm.
cryo machines where he, you know, goes into a freezing cold temperature, which I can't even imagine. I cry if the shower's cold, but God bless
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I'm saying
what do you do to really – just to say, okay, today's today's going to be the best day I can have for myself. What do you do?
You know, that's a tough one because it's sort of a lifetime of having a positive attitude. But I do mm-hmm. know that, you know, right now with all of my health stuff, sometimes it's just, you know, waking up in the morning, I'm going, all right, today is here. You know, I mean, it sounds sort of trivial, but I semi-mean it. And then other than that, you know, I always look mentally. I always look for the day. I'll sit down with that cup of coffee in the morning, and I'll plan out certain things for the day. Not a lot. You know, I always try to do one or two things during that day. And if I do more than that, great. But I never want to, you know, do a to-do list of 14 things because you'll never finish them. You know,
oh,
so
God.
I always do a couple
of things. I love that.
You know, I mean, I'm just really about bits and pieces. It's sort of like what you do in network marketing. I found that if I do some small things in the morning time, I find that it just motivates me more for the afternoon because then at least I feel like I'm moving forward. My biggest deal has always been I don't care how long it takes as long as I'm always moving forward. And that, whether it be in health or in family or in life or in anything I do, I think it's probably why I also have trouble staying in one place for more than 3 or 4 days at a time, you know, because I'm moving forward. I just keep moving forward, you know, but.
Good. I understand that completely. And, you know, I love the fact that you said one or two things on your list for the morning and when you get them accomplished, it sort of gives you that extra push for the afternoon and whatever else you accomplish is bonus. And that's so important because I know I've had my days where I inundate myself with a long list. And when I don't accomplish it, it actually knocks me back down.
I
feel horrible. I feel like I didn't have the day I was supposed to day the day I was supposed to have, and I feel it makes you feel like a failure because you didn't do what you told yourself you should do. So I agree with you. Keep it small. Set those, you know, one or two things that you need to get done, and then anything thereafter is bonus and it makes you feel great. So thank you. That's awesome. Thanks so much, and thank you for allowing us to ask you these personal questions. It's really valuable.
Well, yeah, you haven't seen anything yet. I mean, you know, you guys are real close to me, so I know that, you know, I'll give you a lot of room, and then I forget that I'm on the air. It's like, okay, well, good thing I, you know. But you know what it is? I mean, more than anything is that if you do those couple things a day, and then I used to, at the end of the week, I would add them all up. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the week, you got this huge list of stuff, and then you feel really good. You know, too many times people just, they beat themselves up. And in network marketing, it's actually cruel to watch sometimes. I watch people that are just destroy themselves because they have no positive reinforcement. And I think that's why we started the show. I think we need to have some fun, and I think we need to have some real, real positive get-go, you know, and I think we can all do a lot for that, not only with this, but with our morning shows and just living our life and doing our business right, Danny. So I appreciate
for sure.
that. I think that Mr. Charlie has come on too, finally. He has no idea what we've talked about, so it'll be fun when, you know, I'll get Zeke to open up the mic for him. But, you know, like anything, Annie, I do this type of business because I love the people, and I just, you and Tom are two of my favorite brother and sister out there, and I can't wait till we can get back together again, and building business is bonus.
Sounds great, Dave. Thank you.
Okay, Annie, and I'm going to go ahead and have him mute you, and then we'll bring on, God help all of us, we're going to bring on Mr. Charlie. Zeke, can you turn on? There we go. Charlie?
I'm on.
He's laughing already, so he never know what. I sit back and go, you know, I'm not so sure that I want everybody to ask me certain questions. You know, I'd like people that don't really know me to ask me a question because they're not going to be as direct as someone like Charlie might do. But, again, he doesn't scare me, so bring it. I'm ready for you.
How are you, pal?
I'm good. We always have fun on the show. You know that. So it's a bright spot in the day all the time.
Yeah, well, I'm excited as usual. I finished up a meeting, had a good time, and was spreading the word about what we try to do and talking about the show and having a good time. And I got Tom right at the end there and got to hear Annie for a minute. And as usual, always wondering, you know, what I missed out on and, you know, trying to decide what I'm going to say to you a lot of times. And I actually said that before I actually got on. And most of the stuff I say to you, you know, we talk about it on a regular basis, but you know, Andy really talked about it with how positive you are and what you're doing and what you're saying. You know, I have to ask you, though, all kidding aside, you know, I look at you and I respect you, and I don't think many people know about your history and your background and all the different business ventures you've been involved with and how successful you really have been. And I got to ask, are you going to share that kind of stuff? Like people don't realize that you've dealt with business and big, big business. Are you going to share that on a regular basis every week with people?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that there's all sorts of life stories in everything, and I can take from the startup of the company that, you know, grew to over 100 million to travel around the world with Fran and the golf businesses and golf vacation companies. Because I'm a firm believer, and you know this, Charlie, that the traditional business dovetails right into network marketing. I think you can use the strength of either or, and I think it makes us really powerful. And I think we have so much to teach people that someone that hasn't built companies doesn't have that additional skill set like we do. That's why, you know, I think it's so important.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. But, you know, as much as I respect you and love you, and I know how big you are with everything you get involved with, you don't do anything halfway. What I really want to know is, do you think you're going to let him in on some of those stories about some of the crazy things that have happened? Some of the stuff that you haven't talked about on Thursday night that I know about, that some other people know about. Some of the things how you've ended up after a few of the parties and some of the places you've been to. You're going to let him in on some of that stuff?
No.
You mean that's going to have to be on my morning show?
No, yeah. You know what I'll do? I tell you what, I will let them know about the times that you and I were hanging out.
I'm okay with that. I'm not ashamed of anything.
You really
are?
You're okay with that? You sure?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Okay, as long as
you run it by me first.
No, I'm not going to run it by you first. That's not how Dave works. Remember, you know, it's direct. It just comes out of my head, and I say what I think. And you know, Charlie, listen, I know what you're saying, and here's what I can tell you. The show itself, especially being a morning show, I think it's a great, you know, we have a lot of responsibility. I always feel so. We have a lot of responsibility because we've had the success. And listen, I've had failures. I've had massive failures, which we can talk about. But the successes, I can share a lot of that great information with people, and maybe if we can just help, like we always say, one or two more people. You know, that to me is that legacy thing they always talk about. And you know, I get my grandson, he looks at me all the time, and he goes, you know, Granddad, he says, I don't really know what you do, but I do know is when you're on the phone, you always sound like you're having fun. And he goes, and I also know that you get down to see me every couple months. And when I call you, you talk to me on the phone for quite a while. There's never any hesitation. And I said, that's part of what it is and why we do what we do, Charlie. You know, I think that we can help a ton of people out there, and I think it's our responsibility to do that, especially in network marketing.
I agree, pal. I got to tell you. And I hope that you do. And I was, you know, serious and joking about the craziness and the fun stuff. But, you know, I hope we do, both of us, all of us, we all do talk about some of the failures and things because, you know, I've had a real smart businessman once said to me, he said, if you haven't made a bad deal, you haven't made enough deals.
Exactly.
And people need to know that. You know what I mean? We all go through stuff one way or the other. And I think it's so important that we let everybody know that, listen, you're going to have those ups and downs. And that's really what I was getting at, was that I hope you share your success and what it's led you to and what it's given you the ability to be able to do and how you've lived your life. And then I also hope you do share some of the stuff that's happened that you're not so happy with, because people, I think, need to know that. And I plan on talking about some of those downtimes.
Well, you know, that's a cleansing thing, too. You know, you do that, you know that, first off, you get it off your head. You know, that's one thing that people always say, you know, if you hide behind your failures and pretend like they don't exist, and again, that's so prevalent in network marketing, you know, where people, you know, it's the old thing about fake it till you make it, right? People go out there and they exaggerate. And first, I mean, all I know is that for myself, when I hear exaggerations like that, I got two actions. One is it appalls me. And second is that I want to call the person out. And I got to fight that urge so many times because that's my nature. You know, my nature is, you know, you're lying. It's not exaggeration. It's a flat out lie. And I know. So if I don't say anything, am I hurting other people? Because they're following and believing stuff that's not true. You know,
yeah, and
that's
you know,
what we deal with, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you and I have talked about it over and over again, and I mean, we've all had conversations, and everybody that we're lucky enough to be together and talking to us, we're on the same page that we were going to start, you know, bringing the reality in and how we can change lives and what we can do. And, you know, it's, sometimes it's not just the money. It's about a lot of other things. It's about, you know, what someone can do and how positive they can be affected by life and all that stuff. And I got to tell you, that's one of the things I'm excited to hear from you is your positive outlook on life. Because I got to tell you, you know, sometimes I ask you how you're feeling and I can tell you're not 100%. And I still, you tell me that you're having a great day and doing stuff. And I'm so proud of you. And it really makes me think about, you know, what I have and how lucky I am. And it's just uplifting, and I appreciate it. And then there's those other days where I call you that, Jesus, I just want to hang up on you. But we'll talk about those
other
times.
Well, I usually hang up on you first, and that's okay. Listen, if you don't want to talk to me, I'm okay with that, Charlie. Just hang up. It doesn't affect me. It hurt my feelings at all. In fact, sometimes it's like, thank goodness. Because if he didn't hang up, I was getting ready to, because this conversation is really boring me. Bob knows that. He's been a victim of that for years, you know, but other than that, you and Charlie, listen. Yeah, I know. He thinks that I shut his mic off, but I haven't really done that yet, you know, so he's probably worried. I'm, you know, he could be mumbling and talking and snoring in his sleep, but I'll bring him back on so he can wrap up the show with me. But, Charlie, no, listen, the start of the morning show is just the start of this incredible year that's coming up. You know, between what we're going to do with you know, Black Sheep Radio Network and all the morning shows and all the good we can do, there's a lot out there that hasn't been tapped yet, and there's a lot of people that need the help. Even if it's just to come on and listen to us and enjoy themselves and have fun, you know, and not stressed out that they're not making $14 million so far. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I do. Well, listen, but I don't want to keep you on. I want to let everybody be able to finish what they got going on, but I can't wait to hear what you have in store. I'm really excited to be part of everything that's happening, and I look forward to talking to you soon again, buddy.
Well, we'll have a good time. We'll be looking forward to your morning show, and then I've got a little clip at the end here telling me when the morning show's all starting, so get ready. And if Zeke can shut you out and open Bob back up, that would be wonderful. Let's just see. Of course, you know, Bob may be back asleep, but Mr. Granger, are you still alive? I just want to make sure.
I'm not asleep. I had a good time listening to Tom and Annie and Charlie. They were easy on you. Oh, my gosh. I've never heard of such
You know what?
Easiness.
They're smart. They're very smart people. You know, they're very, very smart.
You have to be a little bit smart to be a black sheep.
Well, that's absolutely true. And, you know, that's part of what we always say with our motto. You know, it's okay. We're a little unique. There's no question about it. But, Bob, listen, I just want to thank you publicly. You know, it's been such a fun year with Two Black Sheep Radio, and I can't wait for the morning shows. Now, I don't know at any point if I'm going to have you on the morning show, because you and I will be doing Thursday nights regularly. So, but just in case, if I do, you want to be prepared, because I'll probably be completely off topic. And, you know, I want to give you advance, you know, notice, because you're a good friend of mine.
Oh, I'll be prepared. You know I will.
You think so?
Well, yeah.
tell everybody good night then, and I'll do the close out. Zeke closes out, and then we'll start the morning shows next week. And yeah, it was a fun night tonight. Like I said, I felt lousy all day long. I've been sleeping 2 hours. My heart's been giving me a fit, but I come on the show. Maybe I just have to stay on the air with you guys, because that gets pumps me up too. So I thank you for that.
Well, Dave, I'll tell you, you know, it's great having Tom and Annie and Charlie on with us. We have so much fun with this. It has been a great, great year, and it's been a great year too because of the great listeners we have. If it weren't for those listeners, you know, it wouldn't be worth it, you know. And we just look forward to moving forward and having fun and making a difference, you know,
making a difference.
That's everything, you know. So, well, thank you so much, everyone. And Zeke, wrap it up. And, Dave, I'll talk to you later.
It sounds good. We'll see you later, Mr. Granger.
Okay, man.
Well, we had another great Thursday night with all of you. We sure do appreciate our listeners. And looking forward to next week, because next week we start all of the morning shows. That should be an exciting time. Can you imagine when you wake up on Monday morning, you get to listen to Grange? That's what, Rock and Roll, that's it. Rock and Roll with Grange
he's sort of deranged, you know. So I think it'd be a great way to begin your week off. And then, of course, Tuesday, the America I See with Charlie Melster. Wednesday, Direct. I think I'm probably just going to call it Direct because I've got some ideas of things I want to share that probably shake some people up. Yeah, that's what I like to do. And then, of course, Thursday night, Two Black Sheep Radio will be back with some great new information to share with everybody. And then Friday morning, Blended in the Morning with Tom and Annie Diadone. That should be an exciting show for everybody to listen to. And remember one thing, that we have a great time with you, and we hope you do as well. Make sure you go out there and share this with your team, because the next year is going to become even more exciting as Black Sheep Radio Network starts to expand out. So listen, everybody, just remember this one thing, that being a black sheep, not a bad thing. It just makes us all a little bit more unique. We'll see you all later. Bye-bye.